Unleash the Fury, Mitch.
I feel like it's 2015 again.
Absolutely.
Here we are putting it in.
Absolutely.
putting in the time.
After hours in the basement.
Are we rolling?
I think we're good. So. Are we good?
Awesome.
Welcome to the roastery, everybody.
Well, everybody.
How about that?
Oh, you got a nice coffee mug.
Shout out to you and yours.
You lying.
If only we were getting some sponsorship here.
They have their own ceramic mold.
Absolutely, they do.
Get like the Uline name is debossed into the cup. Soren got this with points. Right. Did you see the coffee? You saw the coffee.
Soren got this with points.
With points. You get a free
six spend on that one, bud.
Order, right?
You get free.
Every time
we order from Uline,
you get a free gift.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like going to the arcade when you're a kid. You can take all your tickets and I want that shitty little thingamajig, but you can get this, Soren. And he got coffee. They
you
have their own
coffee.
From
it? Really? Oh, is that the thing you showed the other day?
Yeah. French vanilla, standard black.
Absolutely.
All kinds of different flavors.
With a couple of those through the EK, rock a couple shots.
Oh, it's ground already. You don't even have to.
Then just pull the shots. Do we have it now?
I can go
for a quick pick-me-up before this really
gets
going.
It?
No, I don't want it.
I'll make it for you, dude.
Okay. I'll make
Wiser,
it.
Can
you
rearrange
make
all
it,
the cameras?
And we all
can you make
it.
Us all some Uline coffee?
Sponsored by Uline.
This is decaf, right?
Because it's what we have.
They didn't have decaf. I think
no?
It's just full calf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we go until 2 a.m.
There's
tonight.
No way. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be tired feeling, but still talking.
Still going.
The conversation is strong.
This is awesome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks to all of us for being here. And Denver.
Thanks for still being here, guys.
You guys. This feels great to me. I love
never
here.
Lost it. That's good, man.
I like
feels
this.
Good here too.
Being together for you guys after hours.
After hours. I wish
my dream come true.
We should have some nice curated hot beverages for ourselves next time.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Some real nice.
What do you want?
I don't know. These are good questions.
Yeah, I got dinner this time, but I'm basically.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you want? Shouts. I mean, you're drinking hot water, but what?
I got hot water.
What would you like to splurge on?
I could
on
do
life,
a hot
you know?
Toddy or something like that.
Yeah, a nice, like a really well made hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Nice espresso martini.
Oh, espresso martini.
Espresso teenies.
Probably
people
decaf
love
coffee and a petite pastry would be good.
A petite déjeuner. Just maybe a little
mousse bouche.
Something with custard. I always like a nice custard. Whatever, man. We'll figure it out. Dessert's coming. Next time we'll do desserts. Yeah.
I can't wait to do dessert.
Fresh perked. Tonight, nothing.
Clean table.
just we ate dinner, actually. We ate dinner.
Yeah.
I had a burger. You tried to have food. And then you looked at it and you said, I don't want it. This happens
salad.
Sometimes.
I've been living in indecision, and one of my biggest goals is to stop living in indecision.
Cheaty from the good place.
Nice one. Did you get it? And you're like, you know what? I'm going vegetarian tonight. And then you like looked at it. And you're all, damn it.
I have bad experiences with salads.
But it was a sandwich.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting there, bro.
Man, sorry, I jumped way ahead.
Chuck got the salad, and I was like, that salad looks pretty good.
Mm.
And then I thought, every time a salad looks good on the menu, I get it in real life, and it just looks like some shitty spring mix that someone got from the grocery store and threw it in there with some cheap fish on it. I was like, I'm not
yeah,
getting that trick plate on
again. This one's a little buzz.
No. Yeah, when I saw it, like after I ordered it, yeah. I looked in the box. I was like, oh, yeah, that actually looks pretty good. I probably should have got that one.
Next time.
Sometimes you just get it because it's vegetables.
How do you know which one to get? How do you choose?
Which one did you actually get? Was it a salmon salad?
It was just the garden, the market salad.
Add salmon.
Add salmon.
Mm. Market salad.
Add salmon for like.
I'm sure it's like $4.99.
$4.99 for something.
I'm pretty sure the salmon.
Fresh coho salmon from Costco.
I'm pretty sure the salmon add on was at least
was
$18.
More than
the
salad. They were like, this guy's trying to get in the back door with a side of salmon? I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
4 ounce salmon. Yeah, like, $19.99.
We were having this discussion at our marketing meeting today because one of the things that.
Side salmon?
Well, no. I don't go out to eat as much as I used to because everything's more expensive.
Yeah.
More expensive. By a reasonable amount. And I totally understand why, because we have, you know, margins we need to hit and we have a business that we need to run and our costs of goods on almost everything is increased. So I get where the creep comes from, but I have such terrible experiences a lot of the time that I just shy away from doing stuff. So we were in our marketing meeting, we were looking at the website and looking at what do you do in this digital world to make people feel safe clicking on and purchasing a coffee that's more expensive than what they normally get and just feel confident about it, you know, without tasting it, without having any experience with it other than your experience with the brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess part of it is like what you believe about the brand or the company that you're supporting and the value you get from the experience of buying that good.
Right. You're kind of building a good faith relationship before that purchase even takes place, or...
Yeah, if everything else that company A has done, you know, it's like I'd believe that what I was getting would be good as well.
He was ready and confident in his salmon salad.
He was.
Yeah.
But what do you think makes people do that in the coffee world? So let's say you're looking at our menu and you've got Fazenda Reina for $18, and then you've got something Costa Rica Black Diamond Natural. What's that? Pushing over 30, right?
Yeah.
What do you think makes people click on that?
Well, I mean, I think the best version of those people would be like anyone who has a subscription with us, right? Because it's like, though, I mean, this is like a bit of a different.
Yeah, I'll follow you wherever you go, bro.
Yeah, but just like, right, it's like those people are given a, you know, they're essentially getting a different coffee every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we've got some people that have been coffee subscription holders for years and years and years, right? It's like, so to me, it's like those people, right? It's like there's a, like, the only reason you would continue to just receive unsolicited coffee, right? They're not choosing what coffee to get. You know, we're choosing for them, but they're having an enjoyable enough experience that they're willing to pay for it every time. It's like, to me, you're building, that's like a relationship that's been built over years and years and years. And those would be like the best examples of people who are getting the full experience and enjoying it and coming back again and again and again, even though they don't know what's coming next.
They're connected to source energy. That's us.
That's our plan.
Yeah, no, dude.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, looking to connect to source.
connect to source energy.
Well, I'm here for the nugs, you guys, so you're welcome on
That's
a
main line to Chuck. I mean, well, because you buy all the coffee or a good portion of it.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about when you're curating this menu? Because people are going to take it in so many different ways. Like, we were looking at the website, you know, the site itself, or maybe the stuff we post on social media or the videos we make, that's kind of the welcome. If you're in the partner program world, they're going in through Mark or Eli.
Yeah.
They're getting introduced to our menu. What are you trying to do with the menu? Like, when you're thinking about it big picture, what kind of experience are you trying to offer?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm thinking about a big picture, trying to offer a diverse selection of coffees that are approachable to anyone who's like new to us, but then also in that same vein have like a through line of the menu, so that if you are a fan of what we do, that we continue to have similar, you know, just like fruit, it's never going to be exactly the same, but there's a through line of the menu to where if there are things you enjoy, that you can expect the similar types of coffees to be there like year in and year out.
Respect.
First, cool,
that's awesome.
Cool, dude.
I swear.
I was not ready for that. Respect, man. Mad power.
I was
dude.
Looking at you, and I had this intuition, which was wrong, but 9 out of 10 times it'd be right. I said, Jared's got something to say right now.
Nope.
And you didn't say shit. I was trying
awesome.
To create that space.
No, I'm sorry, dude. 9 out of 10 times. It didn't happen right now, dude.
It's that,
there's your one 10%er. Why do they buy it? Why do they buy it? What makes them feel safe to buy it?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to a website...
Well, how do you shop for coffee, if you ever do?
I have ideas of what I want and like, though. So, like, for me, I'd almost never pick a Brazilian coffee, just because that's me. But
right.
So, I mean, like, that to me is also the antithesis of the question, which is,
Right, because like I enjoy like new experiences, right? So like I enjoy like new and diverse experiences, right? So it's like that's going to influence like what kind of coffees I try at other places, right? I'm going to ask people there what they like, and you know, go in it as like a taste experience, right? Like I really enjoy taste experiences, so it's like just trying something new could be like enough for me. It doesn't have to be something that I think that I'm gonna love or that I feel like I need to love for it to be worth the experience.
Right. So you're willing to roll the dice on something that's new and interesting, and whether or not you like it or not doesn't really matter as much.
Yeah. I mean, I think a really cool example of that on the menu that was on the menu at one time was like we had this like honey Indo, and we don't have a lot of like Indos on the menu, but it was like a honey. It was like a honey Indonesian coffee, Karencini honey.
Karencini, yeah.
And it was just a really unique take on like on an Indonesian coffee. And we got all kinds of really amazing positive feedback on it. And I think that was just like an example of trying something that's like a little bit new, a little bit different. And I think there's a lot of people out there who you can get similar origins, similar coffees in a lot of different places. So I think there are people that are always looking for something that's like from somebody they trust, but like a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see some expression from somebody. Like, you know, we'll go to a bar or a restaurant and I'll ask them to kind of tell me about what the best things are in their opinion, what they like the most. And then I'll typically, if it's someplace I've never been, I want them to kind of direct me, you know, even down to like, whatever, make me a dirty martini, like which gin, this, that, and the other. I'm like, and ask me all these questions. I'm like, I want you to make me the best dirty gin martini that you would make. Like, what's the one that you want? And then however they make it or not gives me a gauge on if I want to be involved more or less with that kind of place.
Yeah.
But it's also like, and actually not only that, and if what they say is what I experience, that's the other part too. So if they're going to like tell me something and then it comes out not be expected, totally, then that's a double fail. Like, but if it comes out as they suggested, they're excited about it, and I just don't love it as much, I think that's still a win for me.
Right.
Across the board.
Yeah, what about for you?
It's pretty similar to you, to where it's first and foremost, if I walk, so it's interesting because it's different in physical space than something like shopping online.
Physical space,
I'm looking for their enthusiasm, and I'll look for that in a bunch of different ways. There's clues everywhere to see how engaged people are. But if you went into a coffee shop and I went over to the barista station, I would just kind of watch how that person's moving. And the first thing that I look at is, are they stringing all their movements together, looking like they're actually doing something, or are they doing one motion, kind of pausing and thinking, and then doing another motion and kind of lollygagging. Like, we went to Captain and Stoker, and that dude, whoever he was, were you there? It was when we were on our trip, right? Oh, shit. Yeah, it was us. So it was Weiser and Kira and I. We went to Captain and Stoker, went to Ad Astra, went to Monterey to do like a day offsite. And the dude who was working bar at Captain and Stoker was on fire. You could tell he was just in love with the idea of espresso, and he's just looked like he was in a barista competition for real.
Flowing.
He was just doing, even the way he was drying out the portafilter basket, he's like, take the basket out, knock it out, and he's like, and I was just like, I was debating, I was like, I don't know, oh, we could go to Ad Astra and they have coffee. And then I saw him working, I was like, I'm getting coffee here for sure.
I'm getting two coffees.
So I'll look for that, you know.
Right, it's like the vibe.
If people are engaged, I'm feeling like I will get the best of whatever that company has to offer.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious about what that is. Because I'm really curious about how organizations express themselves.
Because you could draw that parallel online to where if it's like if you get a vibe for how that company presents itself and what their brand is, then you could carry that over into like what you purchase from them, right?
Yes, I think so. And that's why I think like one of our projects in marketing has been working on how our voice is. And the reason we need to do that is because, you know, back in the day when we opened, Instagram's just on my phone, right? We're just kind of doing everything. We're always together. We're in one place. And a voice is just basically like us channeled through this thing. And then over the years, we've had different people doing social. And it gets to this point to where the thing that's going out in the world is no longer reflective of how we feel. And that is an issue because it's not like someone ends up on your website by accident.
No, you know, got to put them there.
It's not like someone's like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Cat and Cloud Coffee, good coffee in Santa Cruz. Yeah. You know, it's people are engaging in a bunch of other ways, whether it's YouTube or social media. And then the energy that they're picking up from what's going on there or how they feel about you will be like, you know what? I'm going to give them a shot. You know, I'll give them $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, whatever it is. So for us, it's working on that, not voice in a convoluted way in terms of trying to be something we're not, but just trying to bring it back to center. You know, what do we sound like when we sound like we are? What do we sound like when we're being the best version of ourselves?
Most like authenticity has always been a big part of it.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'm shopping online.
Okay, because like you skate a lot.
Yes.
Right? So there's a lot of different skate brands.
Yes.
It's like, I know there's a few that you like, but it's like you maybe necessarily haven't engaged in person.
Yes.
With them. So it's like, what is it about the different brands that then will prompt you to make a purchase of one versus the other?
It's got to be real and authentic, but in a zone that I want to be in. So it's like those two things together. Like I spend almost all of my money in skateboarding that I don't spend at Bill's Wheels in town, which is we're stoked to have a really good local shop. Pretty much every dollar that I spend outside of that goes to humidity in New Orleans.
Talk about them,
And I don't know the guy that owns it. You know, I've never met him, probably never will. But the way, just like the shit that he makes, like his designs for something like clothes, it pops right into my brain and I'm just like, that's exactly what I would make if I knew how to design. And something about that connects with me at my core. And then there's, you know, the music stuff that he references and the cultural stuff. And it's like he's from a time or an era or represents a thing that I just deeply relate to. And it's really hard to put into words because when I see it, I immediately recognize it as like, that motherfucker's real as shit. And I love it.
Yeah, it's like his authenticity that then resonates with you.
Yeah. It's the authenticity and then there's the stylistic alignment. Right. There are a lot of people who are also authentic in the same way, but they're
but his version of
exactly
resonance.
It's those two things matching up.
I'd be really interested, like right, for our authentic selves and like who we are as a company authentically, like who it's like connecting with,
right
like out in the world.
Right. It's tricky. I think about this a lot. We were talking about it today because at least from what I've gathered so far, we've got a lot of different types of guests
who are pretty diverse, I think.
I think so too, because
a win to me.
Yeah,
I think it is. And I think just coffee in general too is going to have that. So if you look at something, coffee's such a broad, everybody drinks coffee. You know, not everybody's buying fringe skateboard goods. You know what I mean? But within that, there's the customer or guest. I guess guest would apply to the online store. There's still a guest, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's the guest that is more like what you're talking about, where I'm a coffee nerd. I want adventure. I want the newest, weirdest, strangest, fringe, highest quality thing ever. I don't blink at the price. You know, I'll plop $50 down on the 8-ounce bag of anaerobic geisha, or you know, $30 on the black diamond after whatever. It's not even a thing. And then,
which is arguably like a small set of the population.
Sure.
Right.
And when you use a double black diamond, it's even
double black diamond
way more.
It doesn't even work with your hips.
No.
you don't need your hips.
You can't even
on a double black diamond. And then there's the blends drinkers. It's a completely different guest profile.
But that's about 80% of the team. And
yeah.
They're probably a very diverse group of people.
And I think what My guess is people are seeing what we're doing and saying, I believe in this idea, you know? And that's more so the 80% than the 20%. I think the Coffee Geek customer is probably the least driven maybe by our values in terms of what they're buying, because I picture them as going everywhere and buying the quote unquote best of everything from all the different companies. But the people who just simply choose to rock with us on coffee like the idea of everything, every interaction you have with someone is the opportunity to elevate someone's day
for sure,
and create a place. I believe in a workplace that is governed by mission and values, where people can do something that's bigger than themselves and they can work really hard, and it's not easy, but it means something, and they can see and feel the impact of that.
I mean, I think that's super clear. I talked to my friend from Chico this morning, and he's like, oh, did I tell you, like, my aunt's been buying your coffee forever. She gets like a subscription, or she orders it online all the time. It's one of those two. Then I don't think it's a subscription. I was like, oh, really? That's cool. And he goes, yeah, I mean, she's over in like Cupertino area, but we came over to Seascape and she took us, and we came to the Aptos spot. He called it Aptos.
Aptos.
Yeah. Came to the Aptos spot, and she like really had an awesome time. And ever since then, she's been buying your coffee. And so I think that probably sums up a lot of it, is you make somebody have an amazing experience. Sometimes they are going to buy coffee. They're like, I want to buy it from this place because I had this time and this memory, and we've talked about memories forever. And then they bring it home with them, and then they're in. It's like, and once you decide to identify with it and you like it, then it's like, why would I go anywhere else until I have a better experience? I would think that's what I do, at least, unless you're maybe adventurous and you're like, you maybe try something else, but you still probably go back.
But then
to
you
the,
might come back,
back to the core.
Because,
you
know, I mean, there's
do.
So many exactly. different coffee places you could go to.
I'm a pretty firm believer in that concept, just because it seems like human nature. You want something you're comfortable with, and there's always an opportunity to kind of like take the reins as that placeholder in somebody's life. And so I think we can continue to do that. And when we do, they have no reason to go anywhere else because they're buying coffee anyway.
Yeah,
unless
it's
funds
stoked.
Related, which is not necessarily because of us. That's just like, maybe they are low on, you know, they're not going to buy it anymore because of recession or whatever, or we let them down somehow, which, you know, fingers crossed we continue to never do. So that's kind of my belief, is we get them, and we used to say, especially coffee anyway, if you can get them to drink it five times and compare it to something else, they're never coming back, or they're never leaving. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it seemed like a nice thing to say, and it felt relatively true. And we win people over, but a lot of that was experience and specialty coffee. You know, you kind of, it's two for one. And I think at the time we were probably too inexperienced to call it the full experience. And we were trying to make it all about just the coffee when we were really young. Both are powerful.
Well, I mean,
all of it's powerful.
In today's world, doing something simply based on quality is just not going to work, because the real truth is that most people actually don't care.
Sure.
Regardless of what they
say. Yeah, they're not like judging maybe like every drink to like the highest extent, or every like thing they eat or drink to the highest extent.
They might
want to
buy into believing that they're buying the best, though.
Oh, for
sure.
Whether
they care or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether they care about the flavor as much as we might. They might care about that.
I think... it's complicated, but
I mean,
for
sure.
I know people in my extended family who it's top of the line. You know, that's like one of the things they say. I'm like, oh, cool, man. It doesn't look or feel or taste better. One of those three things I've experienced
Grade
all
A.
of them.
It's top of the line.
But that's like the line.
I think there is, you know, if you're going to be in a business like ours, we're in the specialty sector. So we're kind of in this boutique market anyway, to where most coffee isn't. Just if you're looking at it as an industry, our version of specialty coffee is a relatively small slice of the industry. So if you're going to play this game that we're playing, you definitely have to meet a minimum viable quality standard. No questions
100%.
Asked, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have something approximating what we're doing. You couldn't come in being, I don't actually know. You might be able to if you were compelling enough, but we'll say that. And then,
You wouldn't like maybe you could locally, but I don't know if you could from like an industry point of view. Yeah, like if you just had like a cafe,
but
and you're sourcing like 80 point, you know, coffee from wherever. And that was like all the coffee you were selling?
1,000% Robusta bangers.
Yeah, but the,
but what if the people are so ripped and jacked and just so psyched up?
But the industry doesn't pay your bills.
No, 100%.
You know, normal people pay your bills, and the vast majority of them, I argue, are more driven by story and the association that your brand means than the straightforward quality.
Sure, like the, what's the coffee that has all the rifles on it?
Black Rifle, perfect example. Perfect example. Yeah. It's,
they've got like a cult following. Yeah, cult, right? It's like...
They're tapping
in. Triple caffeine in there.
Well, they're tapping into a group of people that deeply believe what they believe.
Yeah.
So once they have that established, the coffee of the quality is secondary.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're... I've had maybe one cup.
Yeah, I've never had it.
But, you know, better than Starbucks kind of thing, or, you know, in that...
I'm sure it's just tourist in by somebody.
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah,
it's not like they've got like a fucking...
But still, it's how do you have a brand that's that compelling with, you know, they're not doing sourcing, I'm sure, like we are, or like a lot of people are, and they're not even...
Storytelling. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, this is our view of the world. And other people are like, fuck yeah, that's it. You know? And I think the same thing is true for us in a lot of different ways. You know, we were talking about people writing in, like a bunch of people writing in who have never been here and, you know, don't really have any plans to come here because they live, you know, just so far away, but are continually inspired by what we're doing. And I think that's what good storytelling can do. You can move the needle on things and people who will never have an experience with us directly. Like,
yeah, there's a guy in Canada that like wrote in, right? You were about showing me the email. Yeah,
that was odd. I think I literally just deleted the screenshot of that today about his PR firm.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
His, HR firm. Yeah.
What'd he say?
That our podcast helped him. He owns like a HR firm with like 200 some odd people, and our podcast helped him navigate a bunch of hard stuff they went through.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
That's incredible.
Probably. It's been at least a year. Unless it's happened again.
What? I mean, I'm like literally, you guys got me thinking about this stuff. I'm like, but then there's kind of like, if there was a, probably maybe a PR company or analytics company, they generally like, you know how they take like word, they put certain words and like descriptors around the kind of people that fit into different brands. They like kind of like are like, these are the kind of generalized people. And I'm like, I'm thinking about that. I was like Harley Davidson, all these different places. I'm not, without even like saying what I think they are, because I don't know. But I'm like, there's certain things, I bet you if we went around the table, we could kind of like throw out things that would either be funny and ridiculous or like on point or whatever. But about anything. And then I'm like, what is ours? What would maybe people say about our brand in, if in like that same world? Because I actually might have a sort of tougher time. You know what I'm saying? Because there is like such a dude, you go BMW driver. You could kind of go, I mean, I guess I am doing these things, but you could go Harley Davidson, Ducati, you know, like there's all these different things, and you kind of have like somewhat of a picture of somewhat of these places based on how people talk about them or what you see in a magazine. Budweiser drinkers, like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's all these things that they use in their marketing. I don't feel like we necessarily, which I mean, it's not totally true, but we don't follow that same subscription. I mean, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not saying we should either. I'm just,
but it's like maybe those companies got so big that they've really lost like the authenticity aspect.
Well, maybe, but we're talking about Black Rifle, and we're saying like they believe in something really thing. So all I'm saying is, awesome that people believe in what we're doing. What is our thing? I mean, it's memorable experiences, a story. We have a mission. We have values. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe because of that, there's authenticity. There's belief. There's trust. But you don't necessarily, I mean, I guess people do, a brand you can trust. So I guess people say that in the world. I'm just in my head about it. It was interesting. You guys were talking, and I was having a moment.
It's, I don't know if I could put it in a visual profile in the same way that I could paint the picture of
someone in my mind who rides a Harley.
Right.
Which maybe he's got a big beard, long hair, a leather vest with
definitely
no
got
sleeves,
a vest, right?
You know, some Hell's sort Angel of gang. Jacket. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah,
positive.
The motorcycle club thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, cool. That's a stereotype. Right. That's, you know, I got that in my mind. Yeah. And I could maybe do the same thing for certain car brands.
Not, but I guess not with like your car rally crews you've been hanging out with. You wouldn't be able to necessarily do that with those people. So I'm just thinking.
I think the world's more subcultured, but when I think you are rallying people, those are all rallied around a product that has a certain identity to it. And
sure.
Ours is, the product is coffee, but we're really capturing people who believe in this idea. Because when you have someone.
Source energy.
That's dude,
it.
Write this down. Source energy. It's come up.
Just,
actually,
why don't
I
you put it on the
here.
Website
this
finally.
Is,
connect
dude.
To source
this
energy.
This is up there with.
Times
company.
Two.
A few great ideas.
Sure. Hey, welcome to Cat and Cloud, where you're only specialty coffee home for Pure Source Energy. If you believe in Pure Source Energy, we have a coffee for you.
Didn't that almost make
Please
it on the
it
truth
now.
Bag?
Yeah. But when people are writing in, like the HR dude who wrote in, it's like, you guys have helped me through a trying time. And that's not something that's uncommon to have a conversation or people write in and say, hey, I own a small business or I'm working on a project and I've been struggling with all these things. And you are speaking to that and more so than just speaking to it, because anybody can talk about anything they want. Right. It's like we could be full of shit, but we're actually making it work. And, you know,
that's
there's
true.
A
and
real
there's
life
some,
example
right,
of that
just,
where it's not just pie in the sky. It's like these are the things that we do.
Right.
And this is the culture that we're creating.
So that
however
is
imperfect, always getting better.
Right.
It's
the
people
that's
who
different
believe in
than
that.
The people who have like these huge websites about how let me help you work on your business. I've never had one, but I know how to do it.
No, because especially when like the podcast started, it was chronicling.
That's true.
Us starting the business and the challenges and hardships that we had and how we navigated them. Right. And I feel like a lot of people resonated with that. And, you know, every year at SCA, you know, every year that I've been there, you know, there's always people coming up and being like, you guys, you know, that we listen to the podcast or we're really inspired by like how authentically we talked about the challenges and like the trials that we face starting a business and overcoming them or however we went through them. And I think that there's something to that, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's 100%. Humanism, there's relatability, there's authenticity, which is all things that I really value. There's transparency, there's vulnerability too. There's the imperfect with the continued aspirations of being better. I guess that's also in our values. So that stuff's all.
So I think that's
warranting us to be proud of ourselves and our team for pursuing that stuff consistently.
Yeah, I mean, those feel like when you're asking me to talk about the skate shop thing, that's the two sides of the coin, where one side is, okay, cool, people trust us, believe in us because we're being ourselves, we're sharing what we're doing, we're not spinning it in some sort of hype way.
Fair.
And then just like I'm resonate with this dude's style, people are saying, yeah, I go to work for 8 hours a day and I don't want it to suck.
Yeah,
I,
for
you
sure.
know, I want to do something meaningful and I want to grow, even if it means working a little harder than normal. And I'm up for the challenge. I want to be better. And I want, you know, that's,
you surround
that's
yourself
it.
With awesome
and I don't know what that
it.
Person dresses like or looks like or what kind of car they drive or anything.
Sure.
I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who reads Simon Sinek's books? Like, who reads Brené Brown? I don't know. You know, is it?
Yeah, that's a pretty big demographic for sure.
Yeah, but they're all kind of gunning at one thing or some sort of worldview.
For sure.
I don't know.
No, I like that. And it's cool and really great indulgence, guys. Thanks for indulging in that little side conversation. It's good shit. You're not wrong. I think it's great. It was, I was just getting a lot of pictures and I wanted to make jokes, but instead I was like, you know what? Let's not make jokes about this stuff. Let's take it seriously for a second.
You want a leather vest?
It smelled good. It smelled good. As long as it's authentic.
It's pretty rad, though. I made this little video of just kind of day in the life and end with the meeting. I don't know
that
if you saw
cool.
it.
No, I saw it.
Yeah, and then there's some people in the comments who were just, dude, this is awesome. I needed that. This is one dude was
great
like,
example.
It's almost
like,
had me in tears.
Aw.
And then another dude was like, that passport is this. That's a great idea. I'm going to start working on that for our company. It's, I don't know. It's kind of neat.
It's nice to feel helpful. That is for sure. And it's nice. It's nice to work on something that helps the people here in town, the community, but also by proxy helps others. And that is really nice to do, because it is something I think that we've had some sort of passion for connection in since the beginning of our tenure, and especially coffee, or else we wouldn't have started any of this stuff, any blogging, any sharing, anything, right? It wasn't because we just had loud voices and wanted, you know, like, there's something to that bigger connection and the ability to help people get places. And so,
yeah.
It is nice to get that feedback.
No, I mean, I got a text from like Alex Mars yesterday, and right, it's like, he's an example. I think there's a lot of examples of people that have come through here, and being here, and I don't know, like, not to say that we like helped develop, you know, who they are professionally.
We gave them a place to do it.
Either like personally, growth personally, or growth professionally, helped supported that. Right? They obviously work really hard. But, you know, and there's a lot of people that then move on and go on to do, you know, things with their lives that they're really passionate about. And it's like, I think that's really awesome that we were able to like help support, help mold, help people with, you know, personal, professional growth. It's like, I think of Alex, I think of like Alyssa, like being here and then taking a different opportunity where we had helped her grow to where she could, you know, have other opportunities and things like that. It's like, I think of Dulce that like I work with in Green Coffee, and her coming in as a barista, and then us working together over the last couple of years, and just little by little, like, she's, you know, she just passed the queue like last week. I was super proud of her.
Shouts,
she works super hard. She wants to learn. And she's such a great like cultural fit here. And, you know, it's like, now she's going to Guatemala solo on a buying trip in a couple weeks. And she's going to be leading like the trip to Honduras. And just seeing her grow like professionally is really, really amazing. And that's like another thing that I love about the place that we've created, is that it can be like an incubator for people that really want to come in and learn and grow and pursue better. Like, and that makes me really happy every day when I see that.
Yeah, I think it's a great job to have. I'm always a little bit cautious of taking too much responsibility for someone else's success.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Because I feel like that's all them. There's something in there, dude.
Popcorn?
Dual roaster.
It's
people.
For you. It's the dual roaster.
That's the big one over there.
We got to talk about the Best Friends Club.
Well, I was going to say, actually, that's a little bit of what
segue?
I felt like the segue was that we've always wanted to utilize whatever we're doing in some capacity to like to leverage it to do something more with whatever creative way we can, more connection, more whatever it's been, right? Like, this originally was to share ideas, but it was also to connect, share stories. I mean, the Best Friends Club came out of the same idea. How can we connect and help and try something when, one, the pandemic's happening and we can't, well, I guess that was more the first sip, but it was a combo. It was the first sip moving into like a hurricane. And the hurricane, Benjamin shares, you know, like, oh man, it's horrible here. Things are really not going well. It's also the pandemic. Nobody's coming to visit anymore. So we're kind of having a hard time selling coffee. People aren't buying. Like, we're basically fucked. And then a second hurricane comes and it's like, whoa, we're really fucked now. Like, people are losing houses,
mudslides,
everything is a problem. We have nowhere to, you know, so that, I mean, that was that. And I was like, well, what can we do to show up as a relationship based experience based company like we do and try to develop something? So that's kind of where that came out of. It was like, well, what can we do? What might be something that doesn't necessarily take away from anybody, but can just like add to the equation and do something that goes beyond our walls? And that's essentially all it really was like, well, what happens if we set aside a dollar a bag? And, you know, I talked to Charles, and Charles was like, yeah, I mean, we could do that. We should talk to Benjamin, right? And then other things come up, you know, like, it's not gonna be platitudes. You're not gonna be doing white saviorism. Like, it's none of that shit. Like, make sure we're not doing that. Let's double check ourselves. And so, Benjamin, is this a cool idea? Is it a good idea? You know, and we had already bought, just off of feeling the connection to on our first trip there, right? The depulper for Benjamin and establishing kind
for
of
Damien.
A relationship. Yeah, that was weird. But it's for Damien. Benjamin helped us liaison that. And so it just kind of felt like continuation on us putting our money where our mouth was and our beliefs as well, which is something that we've talked about in moving from the concept of when original direct trade came into play, which just meant you went to Origin and bought coffee and shook hands with the producer and said, I bought this directly from them because the importer, like, the importer showed me in the picture and then I, like, I know it. And now it's, the world has moved far beyond that in a great, that's awesome.
Has it though?
Well, I think in a lot of places, it has compared to that, like not everywhere, but.
I mean, I think the funny thing about direct trade is it doesn't mean anything.
It's because pretty much it impossible
means
to
whatever
do.
It wants to mean it's, to whoever's like, saying
hopefully
it.
There's more people saying that, which, you know,
I think there's
what
more
you're
people
saying,
involved. Yeah, that's all. Like they aren't doing
like
that
positive,
as much.
Right?
What's that?
I think there's more people just saying what you just said versus, you know, maybe I think there's probably still people out there being like direct trade, but I think there's less of that. We've moved through more of that and more people being like, cool, what is direct trade?
Asking the question, what does this mean?
You can't get away with just saying I directly buy this as much as you can of now, as you used to be able to. And I think now people are asking, like, whatever, it doesn't really matter. That's
well, no,
to do
it's I think it's an interesting part of the conversation. Well, what is the Best Friends Club?
Well, the Best Friends Club is...
You said a dollar a bag, but let's get nitty-gritty.
Yeah, so specifically so far in Honduras, with the partners that we have created there and worked with there for now 6-ish years plus, for every bag sold, we set a dollar aside. And for every wholesale pound sold, we set aside 50 cents of that. And that money then gets pooled and then sent back and distributed via the needs. And again, Benjamin and everybody there converses, and then it's broken up and shared based on what is the biggest need across the board, and everybody gets something. It's covered things from gallbladder surgeries to housing relocation to fertilizer to farming to farm equipment to drying beds to mills to new infrastructure to house things to do anaerobic processing, and so on and so forth. Dad Wilson's helped build a house on his land so that his family can not only go there, but his farm manager can live there. Yeah. All that stuff is just based on people deciding to purchase this coffee, nothing more, right? Like, they don't have to do anything different, nor do we. And it's just taking a little bit out of the pie and setting it aside and then distributing it directly to the farmers versus our partners versus it, you know, going back through the chain and everybody getting a little piece, which both are fine. This was just an opportunity to help specifically there. And we were in a place that Benjamin was happy to do. So I think you can do it anywhere. I mean, maybe the logistics of knowing exactly how that money is distributed. You know, for instance, when we first brought money, it's, you know, in American dollars. And, you know, realizing something we learned, oh, yeah, these people don't know how to exchange this money. Like, they don't have proper bank accounts. So Benjamin helped them, like, at the beginning. He was like, oh, yeah, that's us, our opportunity to learn. But just stuff like that comes up, all that to say. Like, that's what the Best Friends Club is. So we've been in relationship. We buy every year. We buy their crops and their production, and we support. And hopefully it's something that's worthwhile. I mean, the more wholesale we could, the more of that coffee we could sell, the more direct impact we could have in this community, and hopefully in the future, more communities.
And how many farms are participating? How many producers?
Five, I believe, maybe six.
Damien, Wilson, Nolan,
Pedro,
and Angel
Antonio. That's it. Yeah, five.
Run that back with full names, please.
Angel Antonio Rivera, Pedro Garcia, Wilson Morales, Damien Chavez, and Nelin Guzman.
All from Honduras.
All around the mountain of Honduras. Yeah, El Cedral.
Santa Barbara.
Yes, around Santa Barbara Mountain, basically. Little municipalities.
How important do you think the community aspect is to the program? Because it's not really a one-for-one in terms of if Damien sells 700 bags of coffee, it's not that direct 700 back to him, which I think is kind of cool. So one of the cooler stories from the other year was when Wilson just didn't need anything. He's like, hey, I don't need anything.
Just give me a tiny bit for this, and
right?
That's it.
It's like, I don't need it. You know, Damien and his family have some needs that are greater than mine, so he should get a greater piece of the pie. So it seems like there's this community building thing that's tied into all these people who have a, you know, they know each other.
Yeah.
If you were going to take it to another region, how important is that community, or does it work just one-off just as well, do you think?
I think it could still work. I think, again, I think it's based on the strength of the relationships. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, Benjamin is just a really incredibly special person with what he's done in that
one in a million
community and how hard he works for his family and all the other families that he works with. It's like, it's developing those kinds of relationships in other places. And then I think it can work as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's relationship based. And then, in a perfect world, it's you slowly develop more and more relationships and you all grow together. And that'd be great. I mean, we're going to bring, which is not quite specifically Best Friends Club, but it kind of is. We're bringing Damien and his wife over to visit the States and hang out here for a bit and take a week on, really, down here. That he's going to be just stressed. He's gonna be like culture shocked a bit doing all this stuff, but it's going to be a lot of fun for them and a little time away to relax, and we'll pamper them a smidge as best we can and tell them thank you, and hopefully they'll get to experience all the people here who enjoy their coffee, you know, in person and kind of feel what that's like. Most of the farmers don't drink their own coffee, at least not any of the good stuff. They save the worst of the worst for themselves. So,
right. And yeah, it's like we send our coffee back to everybody, but you're saying on the day to day.
No, right? Yeah. I mean, through the year, they don't drink their quality. They send it out to make their money. So this will be fun. They'll come have coffee at our cafes and eat a little food and share a little, get a little hug. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's all just
dual
part
roaster.
Of
one Damien and the lady on the roaster.
That's more and more of like developing a relationship with someone or all those experiences along the way mm-hmm. that like deepen a connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask a couple hard questions?
Do it, man.
That's a good segue right there. We're like crushing the segues today.
I was intrigued, but I told Withers that I would ask you this.
Oh, yeah.
Alan. All right.
Full
Alan.
Name.
We were throwing around a couple theories about green buying, and we were talking about quality. And one of the things that he threw out there, which I hope I'm not butchering this because he's working on his kind of 20-year wrap-up kind of thing, like insights from X amount of experience in specialty
coffees. Coming?
That's what I told him. I was like, write the book.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said is a step that might work is whoever you're in partnership with, just literally commit to buying everything that they produce, regardless of quality. Because the more compelling story is going to be not based around quality. The story is the story. And if we're really in it for, you know, the people who are producing our coffee, there's no reason for us not to buy everything. So I was just going to ask, why didn't we buy all of Wilson's coffee when he's a Best Friends Club member? I know he has his farm has been growing.
Yeah.
But why not bump something else from the menu? And his is all above the quality that
sure.
would be.
Oh, you know, yeah,
his,
yeah,
all,
totally.
All his coffee is really good. So why didn't we buy all of his coffee?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. So when we first started working with Wilson the first year, we probably did buy all of his coffee for the first couple of years. He probably had,
I think this last year, there's only been 2 years we haven't bought at all.
Maybe like the very first year it was like 5 or 10 bags.
I mean, it's probably 10.
Second year is maybe 10 or 15. And so for us, like a standard single origin launch is somewhere between like 1,000 and 1,500 pounds. So call it with Honduras, 152 pound bags, right? That's like 10 bags of coffee is generally the amount of single origin coffee for one product that we go through in like 3 months. So, and Wilson is really awesome to see. He essentially had planted so much coffee that within a couple of years, he'd produced like, I mean, what, like
he had a couple of bumper
30
crops,
or 40, mm-hmm. 40, 45. I mean, he's on his way to like 80 bags or something, I think.
I mean, I think this season he had like 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last year, like 60. So, right. It's like we only buy from Honduras in total, maybe like 75 bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then just think about, right? It's like we can zoom out or zoom in as far as we like, right? It's like we last year we roasted, what did we roast? Like 250,000 pounds. Let's put that in bags.
quick division by 152.
Yeah, I'll go 132 just as kind of like the average. What's that like? 2,000 bags of coffee. Where like 80% of that is going to be Answer Truth, Night Shift, Friend Zone, right? So what do we got? 20, we got 400 bags total for all other single origin coffees for the year. So, right, it's like at some point you just have to decide what that menu looks like, right? What do your guests and partners want? You know, and yeah, and what that menu looks like versus, you know, and those 400 bags are, right, it's like across like Ethiopia, Kenya, Costa Rica, right? Anything more you're going from one person is going to take away from somewhere else, right? It's like we have limited time, you know, limited money and resources. So it's, yeah, there's like decisions to make to where we could decide to, you know, even if we had his coffee on the menu all year round, we couldn't go through, like, I don't think we could go through all of his.
Interesting.
That's based on people though, right? Like if people bought it, then we could, obviously. They could do whatever you want. So that's just based on customer guest base and purchasing. So,
right. Cause what you're saying is, essentially, we could do it, but you know, one or two other menu slots would just get bumped. Like we wouldn't have X coffee from Ethiopia or X coffee from, you know, wherever.
Yeah. And then there'd be like the storytelling part, right? Of like how much time and energy to go into the storytelling to support selling like that much coffee from somebody year round, right? And what that looks like.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. It totally makes sense. Yeah, we were having this. I mean, we were in a brain buster just like this downward spiral conversation because, man, I want to make sure I accurately represent our conversation. Yeah. But we were having part of the quality conversation. We were really having a conversation about roasters flexing and showing off certain programs, whether it be direct trade or whatever they want to call it, using that as their main flag, when in reality, those coffees represent, you know, 2% of what they sell, which I think is probably true for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at a company like ours, the biggest sellers for any company like this are the flagship blends,
100%,
that are going to make up the, you know, the lion's share of the thing.
Yeah, and it's just right for the SOs, right? It's like it would be unusual for like at any given time one specific origin to even be more than like 5% of our total sales.
Right. Yeah.
Most are in that like 3 to 5, 3 to 6%.
And you're right, Jared, because that is guest driven in terms of, I mean, what are we making in the cafe? We're making hundreds of lattes,
right?
Using, you know, hundreds of shots of espresso, and a lot of people, the bulk of people, want really delicious batch brewed coffee.
I mean, or
in a certain zone.
I mean, really, the majority of people want really delicious milk based coffee beverages.
Well, that's what I said. The lattes, right?
Yeah.
Lattes and batch brewed coffee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the idealist in me though is like, I wish, and maybe we're just on the long road to getting here, but maybe the people could slowly but surely get on board with something like that, and then the Best Friends Club could be represented in one of those blends that is a majority of a skew, you know, one of the major skews. But it really all just comes down to them wanting to pay a little bit more for coffee that costs a little more, and to support something like that. And that that's where human beings got to kind of put their either their money where their mouth and minds and hearts are, and is it worth it to them, you know, to do something like that? And that's a hard ask. You can't expect everybody to do it, but in my perfect world.
Well, it's a hard ask on both ends too, right?
Well, if we could trust it, we could do it, you know, like we could trust it and it wouldn't go bad and we could do it all, then winner, chicken dinner, right?
Yeah, I think you got to
take
the first step though, you know what I mean?
Maybe. I mean, have we not? What do you mean?
Oh, no, I mean,
Like, you mean just make it be what it is and then just raise the price? So say like...
Yeah, yeah. So it's like,
is what it is now because we believe in it.
Let's say the truth went away, right? We've got these flagship blends that fill important slots in their menu, on our menu. Answer, truth. Let's say the truth as we know it disappeared and we're saying, we're going to embrace fully the Best Friends Club. We're going to buy all of Wilson's coffee, that's going to be the truth. Coffees, like, the truth is going to be...
But then at some point, that doesn't guarantee that even with that, it's right. It's like if... I mean, and that's a great thing. It's like if the producers are flourishing in a way that allows them to plant more and create bigger farms.
Right.
It's like the amount that a producer could scale their coffee, I would argue, is like exponentially more than we could buy. Like like their ability to grow their farm is
greater
exponentially
than our ability
faster
to.
Than our ability to grow our sales.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, probably true for sure. Yeah.
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 Unless it literally replaced the answer, and that's like gnarly. Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Potentially.
Or even if it didn't. Let's say maybe the and again, this is all hypothetical. Let's say
I was saying 2,000 bags, right? So that was like our entire sold one, right? It's like
it was like 1,600 bags.
Essentially we'd have
blends.
2,000 bags to like divide up how you saw fit.
Yeah, because maybe we could ignore the fact that we need to buy someone's total production. Maybe it's like if we were going to grow the club, maybe we made the decision. It's like, okay, cool, we can't buy everything because your ability to scale is way greater than our ability to scale.
Mm-hmm.
But we can commit to going way more. Maybe we still turn the truth into a Best Friends Club thing. And I think what I'm trying to say with that is in those situations, I think we as the business need to go first.
That would make sense.
And then convince our guests or show them that it's worth it in the same way that when we both started working at Specialty Coffee,
we
had people come in the door and we're like, $3. They're like, what the fuck? It's a dollar next door. This is stupid. And then they walk out. And then you're like, wait, let me get you coffee.
Yeah.
This is for you. Here you go. You know, this one's on us. No big deal. Come back if you want. Totally get it.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
We got you.
Right? Something like, I'm not even saying that's what we want to do. I'm not even saying it's a good idea. I'm just,
I had this
whole riff with Withers, so we're just kind of talking about green buying, and it's not a world that I participate in directly. So it's fun to talk about with someone who does it.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really cool to find some larger partners, and I've begun my like mental, I don't know, manifesting that it's going to happen, but find some partners that are going to buy a lot of wholesale coffee from us consistently that would be interested in connecting on a project that matters like this. And then you build in the ability for us and anybody to scale with us, assuming they're going to ride or die for us long enough to be able to commit. Right.
Some bigger
thing
movers.
I don't want to do is commit and then take it back, which is always, that's always the thing that hurts the most, is if you commit to something, then we can't follow through, and that to me is a bummer.
That doesn't feel
that's
good.
The worst. That's the worst. So it's how do we keep making the snowball get a little bit bigger down the hill? And that to me is the next one of the next ways of doing that, besides the stuff we can do internally, which is make sure it tastes amazing and get really good at sharing the stories, which we'll continue to get better at, and so on and so forth.
And that is one of the things we always talk about, is like, it's like, to the extent that we want to grow the company, the more we grow the company and the amount of coffee we sell directly impacts the amount of coffee we can buy from the people we want to buy from.
Right.
And it's
classic
like,
business. This is freaking classic.
Like,
freaking,
if you, but yeah, but it's like,
it's real though.
It takes a lot of work to decide to grow at a certain speed or faster than you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is like classic business, but it's like, it's also really hard and it's a really competitive industry, and it's a big commitment and you're putting a lot on the line potentially to do that. So
these are facts,
right? It's like, that's just choices for how
effing choices
people that have companies want to operate them.
Right.
You have any more hard questions? Any barn burners?
No, this is awesome, because I'm getting really inspired in channeling some energy.
Some source energy.
It's pure source. So this is how I'm thinking about it from a storytelling point of view. To where if we have something that's undeniably good that I completely believe in, which is the Best Friends Club, which is awesome. I met these people. It's fucking great. You know what I mean? I think it's awesome that we're doing this. How do you put the amount of energy into that? You need to put the same amount of energy into programs like these as you put into those first guests who have never been introduced to specialty coffee ever. Mm-hmm. Because I think what happens at companies in this sector, there's a mixed bag to where it's like some companies, sure, they'll take a direct trade label or their own version of direct trade, slap it on there. They don't care. It's just a marketing thing. Some people do care, but can't do a compelling enough job connecting that story with people who want to hear it. Because as good as people say these programs are, we still live in this industry where the reality of 80% of what we sell is the blends that we already talked about. So we're like, the work that we have to do is to connect these programs with people who believe in them and transition. Like, we need to actively grow these things in the same way that we're actively trying to get people to be like, I know you hate espresso. This shit is different. This is like some different level shit, but it's really easy to take for granted.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, it's like, I don't know if it's a low bar in that, like, I probably have more conversations with people asking me if our coffee is fair trade than I do with any of our guests that ask me about the Best Friends Club.
Right. Fair trade's been indoctrinated, right. though. Right.
But it's so far away from anything that we engage in. Yeah. Like, to me, it's just explaining, you know, over and over again the difference between what we do and, like, where the fair trade price for essentially commercial coffee comes
shouts
from.
Shouts out to what, Pete's and Starbucks back in the day? Or who even was it, you know?
Fair trade's to, you know, it's to protect producers that are producing commercial coffee, right? And some kind of minimum price. But it's like just in the consumer's mind, right? That story is been so prevalent.
It's like 20 years old at least, right? Or like for when it got hot originally.
I can't even remember.
I mean, before I was officially in specialty coffee in any capacity, like that was the only thing you heard about, fair trade coffee.
But in terms of, when people ask us about our coffee, it's literally that. Yeah. That is like, if we're playing like Family Feud, it's like fucking ding.
Yeah.
That's like the number one box that came up, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's easy to take it for granted when you're in our position because there's no do or die with it in terms of when we opened, it's do or die. We sell coffee of some kind or we go out of business, right? It's just a wrap.
Yeah.
But now we have a really solid base of guests who come in and we want to delight them every time. We definitely don't take them for granted, but we sell a reasonable amount of coffee.
Yeah.
And if nobody came in and bought, if we didn't sell any of Damien's coffee, it wouldn't really affect us from a financial point of view as a business. Like, it wouldn't be do or die, if you know what I mean.
It wouldn't be do or die. I could get into the details of how it wouldn't be awesome, but
it wouldn't be awesome.
You know,
it would not help.
But I know you know what I mean. Yeah. But it's like,
yeah,
we could adjust what we buy for those programs, and it would like. It doesn't seem as gnarly.
Right. So, you'd have some really delicious night shift coffee that's coming your
way.
But
I think thing is to make it feel like it is that gnarly. Because like when something means that much to you, it's like you don't shut up about it. Right? You talk about it over and over again. You're the guy at the party that's like, check this out. Check this out.
Right.
Do you believe in good things? Check this out. You know, and that's...
I mean, that's how
that's just a I'm just processing in my mind
the coffee though.
What's that?
Origin, at Origin, that's how they feel. Is how we feel opening our business. If we don't buy all that coffee, they're actually in big trouble.
But that doesn't change what we do here. You know what I mean?
It does. I found buyers for all Wilson's coffee myself that aren't us. Every year we haven't bought it all. I've made sure it was purchased.
Yep.
I found other people like in our industry to buy his coffee instead of making Benjamin do it. But I'm not saying, I agree with you monetarily, it doesn't necessarily affect us. But I'm saying if we wanted to channel that, we could channel that for, which is kind of where the Best Friends Club came into play, is it's like, well, I'm channeling how fucked they are in the same way I remember how I felt, so we could work on channeling that. If we have to, we can get Sarah McLachlan and a bunch of dogs, and we could just go the super sob story on it. That's less cool. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
no, I'm not...
they don't, nobody's going to feel what they feel. That's the thing. Unless we can somehow share that in a way that also isn't, in American world, like so depressing. Because if it's too depressing, then nobody wants to buy it anyway. Half the time.
I don't know.
Some people do, but some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, I guess
what I'm saying is, like, we would love to move more Best Friends Club coffees.
Always.
Because it's something we believe in, mm-hmm. and we're not moving as much as we'd like.
That's
so what
fact.
I'm saying
fact.
Is, like, even though you might be hooking up people with, you are hooking up buyers for other coffees.
Right.
The work that we need to do is here to get everyone who's here as excited about these coffees as
yeah,
you
totally.
Are.
Yeah.
And we haven't done that, myself included. So I'm just kind yeah. of framing it in my mind. It's yeah. like, how are we going to look at this opportunity?
Same page.
And the way I'm kind of digesting it right now is, remember when I was just a barista and I had to convince literally everyone that this third wave espresso thing was the fucking best thing on planet Earth? Just tapping into some of that energy and not taking these awesome things for granted.
And he never 100%. Did arms of
that's
an
just
angel.
The way I'm kind of thinking about in it. I'm not saying, you know.
It's a dead dog here. Save the animals in the Humane Society. Is that the song, Wiser? It's Arms of an Angel. Yeah. They dead. All dogs go to heaven, dude. All dogs go to heaven. Shouts out. How you guys feeling?
Hey everyone, that's the podcast for the week. Thanks so much for listening. If you heard something that inspired you, let us know or tell a friend. These are the types of connections that are the most important to us and that we seek to create every day. If there's something you heard and you want to know more about, send us an email to podcast@catandcloud.com or head to our website, catandcloud.com/podcast, and let us know. While you're on our site, check out everything we have to offer. Dive deep into one of our single origin coffees or pick up a little treat for yourself. We have something for everyone, so check it out. Also, find us in the usual places, YouTube, Instagram. We're always there sharing amazing things. All right, that's it. Thanks everyone for being awesome. We'll be back next week.